Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an examination of how some of America's biggest corporations, as members of ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, have joined forces with the NRA to strike down gun laws and implement permissive conceal and carry gun laws, as well as make it easier to buy machine guns. Lisa Graves, the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy and publisher of ALECExposed.org, joins us to discuss the extent to which corporate America has blood on its hands. Then, following the recent display of heroism by six teachers who died protecting young children, we'll look into the corporate war on teachers with Henry Giroux, a writer and current Global Television Network Chair in English and Cultural Studies at McMaster University. We will discuss the denigration and downsizing of teachers and the defunding of their unions by corporate and billionaire backers of ALEC and their political hirelings in Congress and state legislatures. Then finally, Catherine Newman joins us. She is the Dean of the School of Arts and Sciences at Johns Hopkins University and author of Rampage, The Social Roots of School Shootings. We will discuss the latest classroom massacre in America and her article at CNN in School Shootings, Patterns and Warning Signs. And joining us now is Lisa Graves, who is Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy and the publisher of PR Watch, ALECExposed.org, Source Watch, and Bankster USA. She has served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department, as Chief Counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as a Deputy Chief for the U.S. Courts. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lisa Graves.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And you're connecting this ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, with the NRA, and in a sense suggesting that big money and the gun agenda have merged, and this has been going on for some time. So give us some details about what we're missing here.
Well, sure. I think a lot of Americans are frustrated by the lack of traction on gun laws to protect our communities, to protect our children. And one of the things that we have discovered through our research is how much of the gun agenda at the state level has been pushed over the last two decades by a group called the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC. ALEC describes itself as the largest voluntary body of state legislators in the country, but in fact, it's largely funded by some of the biggest corporations in the world. Over 98% of its budget comes from corporations and sources other than legislators who pay $50 in dues a year. What happens through ALEC is that corporations pay for so-called scholarships for your elected state senators and state representatives to travel to posh resorts. And at those posh resorts where those legislators and their spouses are wined and dined with cigar parties and special dinners and baseball outings and other special events for them, at those meetings during the day, ALEC has task forces. Those task forces meet behind closed doors. The press and the public are not allowed to be present in those meetings. And at those meetings, what literally happens is that corporate lobbyists and special interest group lobbyists like the NRA vote behind closed doors on model legislation to change our rights, and in particular in the area of guns and violence, to make it easier for people to get access to the most deadly weapons in this country and to make it harder for cities and communities to regulate those weapons. And so ALEC is behind a number of bills that are extremely controversial, including the bill that gained notoriety earlier this year, the so-called Stand Your Ground bill, that was actually a law passed in Florida by ALEC legislators at the behest of the NRA. And then after that law was signed into effect by Jeb Bush, it was taken to ALEC to one of these secret closed-door meetings that was co-chaired by Walmart, the biggest seller of ammunition, the biggest retailer of ammunition and long guns in the world. And it was approved unanimously as an ideal bill to be pushed in cities and pushed in states across the country. And in fact, it was. Nearly three dozen states have adopted that law or parts of it in the past 7 years. And so ALEC and the NRA have been buddies, have been partners in pushing the gun agenda of the gun manufacturers that actually bankroll the NRA through these laws to make it more difficult for states and for citizens, in essence, to regulate these types of weapons. And in particular, last year, a year ago, at the secret closed-door ALEC meeting that we helped expose, the NRA pushed through an amendment to one of these ALEC bills that would bar cities, from banning machine guns, from banning automatic firing weapons, in which you pull the trigger once, an unlimited number of bullets come out of that gun.
So there has been an exodus, if you will, of some of the large U.S. corporations from ALEC following the Stand Your Ground controversy down in Florida with the shooting of Trayvon Martin. However, still ALEC includes ExxonMobil Corporation, GlaxoSmithKline, Koch Industries, no surprise there, Pfizer, Pharma, Reynolds America, United Parcels, AT&T, and State Farm Insurance. Now, apparently, you've written here, Lisa, at ALEC's annual meeting this summer, the NRA had the biggest booth at the convention in Salt Lake City and underwrote a shooting event along with one of the largest sellers of assault weapons in the world. Which one is that? Is that the one that was used in the latest tragedy with the elementary school?
No. In fact, the shooting event that ALEC that was held at the ALEC convention on the Saturday following the ALEC convention for ALEC legislators and corporate lobbyists was co-sponsored by the NRA and by Browning. Now, Browning is a longtime hunting rifle company in the U.S. It's been purchased by a Swiss company that is one of the biggest sellers of machine guns, of assault weapons in the world. But unfortunately, there are a number of these merchants of these machine guns, and that's just one of them. Almost all of these major corporations fund the NRA, and the NRA in turn funds ALEC. And so certainly some of ALEC's agenda is paid for in part, or was paid for many, many years in part by these gun manufacturers who don't want to have these types of restrictions and, in fact, want to make it easier to have access to these types of weapons that are, you know, that help their bottom line, to help increase their profits.
Well, apparently, along with ALEC laws that have been passed around the country, of course, most prominently, the ALEC NRA agenda was pushed through by Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin, and he got an award from the NRA from his implementation of these laws, like the Stand Your Ground law that we noticed down in Florida with the killing of Trayvon Martin. But ironically, which was the city in Connecticut that recently repealed the only ban in the state on carrying concealed firearms? And that was at the behest of the NRA's lobbying efforts.
Right. There's another city just a couple miles away from Newton, Connecticut. It's about maybe an hour away that recently repealed a bar on concealed carrying of firearms. And so it wasn't Newton, but it was in the neighborhood, in essence. And we've learned this weekend from the New York Times that, in fact, there was an effort in Newton, which is the larger town around Sandy Hook, that in that town there was a recent effort to limit people from firing weapons in the woods, an effort to give the police greater power to regulate it when people are shooting weapons within 500 feet of a house or maybe even closer. And that effort was thwarted by NRA members and gun advocates from taking effect. And so you do have a culture there in Connecticut, unfortunately, that appears to have made the use of guns, the idea that the shooter's mother brought her child to gun firing ranges to be able to shoot more accurately, sort of a normalization of the gun culture in Connecticut. And it was sort of surprising to see that just a little while ago in Connecticut, in one of the towns, the bar on concealed carry was dropped. In fact, the other thing that happened last week was that in Michigan, along with the effort to cram through the ALEC wish list on union busting in the so-called right-to-work law, one of the other things that was passed in the Michigan legislature was another part of the ALEC agenda, which was to expand the ease of concealed carrying of firearms in the state of Michigan. So ALEC, while ALEC says it's no longer pushing this agenda, the NRA clearly is. and ALEC is doing nothing to repeal or to push to repeal many of these types of laws that basically advance the agenda of both the NRA and the gun manufacturers that bankroll it.
Well, in that conceal carry law that was just passed, along with the union busting right to work law in Michigan, didn't that law also include that teachers are allowed to carry guns or encourage teachers to carry guns? I read that somewhere.
Well, it's interesting. I think there's been two sort of strains that have been merging. One is that where in many of the states that have adopted these concealed carrying laws or have adopted reciprocity agreements to basically allow you to carry your concealed weapon from one state to another if your home state allows you to have a permit to have a concealed firearm, that what those way those laws work is that they're basically taking your traditional right, in essence, to have a gun in your home to defend yourself and giving you a right to carry that gun on the streets in public places, in public spaces. And in those public spaces, what they're saying is you can carry that gun, but you can't carry it openly so people know that you have it or that might cause people some fear. You carry it in a concealed fashion, which many people have been concerned about, having a situation in which that may lead to increased violence because people may not realize that the person they're having an argument with is actually, you know, packing a pistol. And in fact, what you see in the case of Trayvon Martin is the confluence of both sort of the idea, or that you can see the danger of this idea. You could have a state that has a law that says you can carry a concealed weapon, along with a state that has passed another ALEC law that says you have this stand your ground right to shoot to kill if you think you're being threatened. And someone may not even realize you've got a gun on you. And so I think it's a recipe for disaster. In terms of the schools, though, one of the shocking things that we've seen beyond just the horrifying, shocking nature of the crimes in Connecticut that stole the lives of those children and their teachers, one of the shocking things is that one of the first things out of the box by gun defenders was to say that that teachers should be carrying guns, that teachers should be armed, and even to blame the idea of schools as a gun-free zone, which many states have adopted and many cities have adopted, that somehow was the cause of this tragedy, that if the school were not a gun-free zone, meaning we're in a city or state where a person has the right to carry a concealed firearm, the place they cannot carry it is in a school because that's a gun-free zone, and there are special criminal penalties if a crime is committed in a gun-free zone involving a gun. Some of these gun advocates have been saying that we just needed more teachers armed with comparable weapons in those schools, and that's how we'll keep our children safe.
Again, I'm speaking with Lisa Graves, who is Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy and the publisher of PR Watch, alecexposed.org, SourceWatch, and Bankster USA. She served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department, as Chief Counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as a Deputy Chief for the U.S. Courts. When you were a Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department, Lisa, I understand you worked on gun issues, so you're the perfect person to comment on the New York Times story that indicated that after the shooting of Congresswoman Giffords down in Arizona, along with the deaths of a number of people standing by her as she campaigned as a congressperson, exercising in the exercise of American democracy, the Justice Department apparently decided to revise some of the gun laws and implement some real gun laws, and that all sort of fizzled. And in many ways, it got sidetracked by that bogus witch hunt on the part of Darrell Issa and the Republicans in Congress over this trumped-up so-called Operation Fast and Furious. So give us a sense of what was going on in the Justice Department when you were there, and what can they do, given that the president, meeting with the victims in the town of Newton, Connecticut, did talk about that we have to do something, we have to protect our children. So if he calls up Eric Holder, if Obama calls up Eric Holder and says we got to do something, what can the Justice Department do?
Well, I think the Justice Department can do a lot of things. You know, there are a whole set of proposals that I worked on when I was at the Justice Department called the National Integrated firearms violence reduction strategy. It's a pretty cumbersome word for a set of proposals that include closing the gun show loophole and ensuring that the assault weapons ban would continue. That ban was allowed to expire in the George W. Bush administration, and there's been no traction before now in getting that ban in place and improved upon. And so there are a number of things that could be done that the Justice Department could put together based on ideas that were basically shelved by the Bush administration and not put back into play. But, you know, I think that one of the really stunning things about ALEC and the NRA agenda is that, you know, after the terrible school shootings at Virginia Tech, which is the other one of the other recent extremely deadly shootings at a school, instead of embracing efforts to address some of these problems with the access to these rapid-firing weapons and these big clips of ammunition that allow a shooter to kill so many people so quickly, instead of addressing that directly, what ALEC and the NRA did was to say that there should be no bars of guns on campus. And so basically they play offense all the time. So in the face of a tragedy like Virginia Tech, what ALEC and the NRA did was say what really needs to happen is that, you know, college students should just be armed. More and more college students should just be armed. And that's a consistent position with the NRA, that with the escalation in the number of people who have guns, what we need is more people to have guns. And so it's sort of this ever repeating cycle or circle. The more guns we have, the more you need guns to defend yourself against the more guns, which requires more guns, more guns, more guns. And who does that benefit? Gun manufacturers, of course. It's not actually a sensible solution to the crises that we face, both from the standpoint of mental health and the number of young men and younger Americans who are unstable, and the confluence of having someone who is depressed and unstable having access to these types of extraordinarily deadly weapons that can kill many people in the matter of seconds.
Well, but there is a reason why the United States, among the advanced democracies, is alone in not having any government protection of its citizens based upon correlating data between the mentally ill and those who purchase firearms. And the reason for that is that the NRA has consistently crippled the federal agency, the ATF, from doing its job and from protecting American citizens. So there is a reason why we are alone in the apparent the ease with which mentally disturbed people can get hold of firearms, and that all is on the NRA. So why are these big American corporations in bed with this psychotic agenda that is destroying American lives?
Well, you know, it really is quite stunning, because what you saw was before this year, a number of these corporations, Coca-Cola, Walmart, Pepsi-Cola, Bank of America, General Motors, General Electric, the CVS and Walgreens stores, and others that were longstanding members of ALEC, and they knew that this gun agenda was going on. They got the ALEC publications. They were at the conventions. Their representatives were there. Some of them were even on the committees, like Walmart, the particular task force on guns. Coke Industries was actually not just been a longtime funder of ALEC through the family foundations of the Koch brothers, and also through the corporation held by the two of the richest men in the world, these right-wing ideologues who are attempting to distort our democracy in many ways. But Koch Industries was actually the chair of ALEC's corporate board at a time in which ALEC said that law enforcement should not be able to select a gun manufacturers for the purchase of weapons for police based on whether a manufacturer has adopted a voluntary code of conduct in terms of trying to prevent people from who shouldn't have guns from getting access to them, and other voluntary measures. And so this is indeed an extreme agenda, and it's one that's been peddled by ALEC. It's been peddled by the NRA, and it's been made possible by the donations of these major corporations to underwrite ALEC's overall agenda, and they should be held accountable for it. I think that the public exposure of that agenda is, in fact, why 42 corporations like those I named, GE and General Motors and Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Amazon, and others have dropped out. But there are a number of corporations, as you mentioned, Ian, that have not. State Farm has an ideologue at the top of its insurance organization. He has stood with Alec through thick and thin, and a lot of State Farm customers have no idea that their premiums are helping to pay for the Alec ideological agenda. You have AT&T and Verizon that are part of Alec. Comcast is part of Alec. these big telephone companies like those and telecom companies. And you have other corporations like UPS and FedEx. They're part of Alec. I think that people ought to know that, and they ought to ask them to get out of Alec, because what Alec has done with this gun agenda and with its broader agenda to make it harder for Americans to vote, to make it harder for us to have fully funded public schools and a public education system, to thwart efforts to increase the availability of insurance, including all types of insurance, which would include health insurance for mental health, to stop the effort to implement the ACA, which is known as Obamacare. Alec's agenda is an extreme agenda, an agenda of ideologues, and these companies either ought to get out or be held accountable for bankrolling it.
Just in closing, Lisa Graves, Mayor Bloomberg of New York, of course, has always been one of the few American politicians to call for sensible gun laws. And Dianne Feinstein, the California senator, is going to reintroduce the assault weapons ban that she originally got passed and then was allowed to expire in 2004. Now, Bloomberg is saying that the power of the NRA is exaggerated, and that's quite possible. So is there a way to expose them, not just expose Alec, but expose the NRA, and perhaps the emperor does have no clothes, and perhaps their bark is worse than their bite?
Well, I do think that the surveys I've seen indicate that a number of the people who are members of the NRA are hunters, and they know that you don't use these guns to hunt deer. There's no reason you need a 30 round clip of ammunition to shoot a deer. If you shot a deer that much, you'd have very little deer left, quite frankly, for steaks and dinner. They know that these guns are designed for the military. Their primary purpose is to kill people and kill people as quickly as possible. And so I think that there's actually a fissure emerging in some ways within the so-called gun community, including members of the NRA, who recognize that these sorts of tragedies are intolerable, because they are intolerable. I also think, quite frankly, while the NRA is a membership organization, there's no doubt that they have many members who pay a very small amount to be part of the NRA. The fact is that the NRA is largely bankrolled by some of these enormous gun manufacturers. When you look at Wayne LaPierre, the head of the NRA's salary, it is not a regular nonprofit salary. It's a CEO, it's a corporate-type salary. You can look it up. We'll put it online on PR Watch and Alec Exposed. He's paid a huge salary because he's basically paid a corporate salary. And he's paid that salary because his organization is primarily funded by some of these enormous global weapons manufacturers. I think that there's room to expose the NRA, expose their agenda, and also, quite frankly, for citizens to stand up for politicians who stand up to the NRA, and also to hold accountable politicians who want to do the bidding of not just the NRA, but quite frankly, the global merchants of these weapons, these massively deadly weapons, and hold them accountable. And I would say, I guess, in closing, in some respects, people have said this kid would have caused harm no matter what. He could have built a bomb. But I'll tell you what, we don't have bomb stores on every corner, because we know that a bomb has the capacity to destroy dozens of lives in an instant, just as some of these military-style weapons with these big clips of ammunition and these fast triggers can destroy the lives of 20 kids, 26 and 7-year-olds in Connecticut, and their teachers. And I think it's time for the country to do something about it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, Lisa Graves.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Lisa Graves, who's Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy and the publisher of PR Watch, alecexposed.org, SourceWatch, and Bankster USA. She has served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department, as Chief Counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as a Deputy Chief for the U.S. Courts. We're going to take a brief station break and discuss the denigration of the teaching profession, yet six heroic teachers died protecting young children.
Bye.